Welcome to the all-new VM Podcast. This is where we discuss the latest and most fascinating, powerful, and disruptive additive manufacturing and 3D printing technologies with the people that invent, develop, use, and market them. Join us on this journey as we take you from voxels to matter through the most advanced applications across aerospace, automotive, healthcare, consumer products, and the most advanced areas of digital production. I am your host, Davide Scher, CEO and co-founder of Voxel Matters, the most trusted media, marketing, and market research firm for the ever-growing world of additive manufacturing. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the VM Podcast. We always strive to bring you the best and the latest with a special focus on the real products that can help your AM businesses thrive. That applies whether you are an AM adopter, a user of AM parts, or an AM service provider. Today, we are here with Franco Cevolini, CEO of CRP Technology. CRP is a very interesting company because it has been active in the AM industry for well over two decades and has built a unique expertise in both AM production services and AM advanced AM powder materials. The services are offered mainly via polymer PBF technologies such as SLS and HSS, catering to advanced automotive and aerospace users, among others. Materials are offered under the Windform brand of CFR-GFR composites. In both cases, the main target is not just prototyping, but small production series, limited editions, and pre-production. So, hello, Franco, and thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. So, let's turn back the clock a little bit. And you were one of the first to believe in 3D printing in Italy, but also globally. You are very well known in the industry. Your company is well known and you're active all over the world. Can you tell us how CRP Technology was born and how it has evolved over the years, especially, you know, with a little bit with a light on the Windform range of materials?
Yeah. Well, we started in 1996 when we bought the first machine from DTM Corporation. It was the Sinterstation 2000, and it was an SLS machine, so a selective laser sintering machine. We bought that machine with the aim of using the technology to produce at least the wind tunnel parts. At that time, we were a key supplier for some Formula One teams, and we worked a lot for also the wind tunnel applications. And at the time, the parts were made by CNC machining, starting from billets. So with the high cost and also not properly timed according to their needs. So the idea was to use this new technology. But when we started to work with that machine, we discovered that the material available at the time weren't so good in terms of mechanical performance. And so I started to develop new composite materials with the aim of improving mechanical performance, technical, thermal, temperature resistance, and other key aspects of the material. I'm a material engineer, and so the idea was to reinforce the material, starting from a polymer base. In this case, we are talking about the thermoplastic material, especially nylon-based material, that were reinforced at the beginning just with fillers, and in the last years with the fibers, especially carbon fibers. So this is also the reason why we call the material, the range of material, Windform, because it was at the beginning just the idea of producing parts for wind tunnel. Yeah, then we discovered that the material properties were so good to allow the use of these parts also in car application. So talking about, again, motorsports, Formula One application, but also other series such as WZC or Rally Raid, MotoGP, and other series. Now the parts are also used in other sectors such as aerospace, aeronautics, defense, medical application. And we have a wide range of material that are available in order to select the right one for the specific application that the client is looking for.
And I forgot to mention, of course, when I was introducing you, that of course you're based in Modena, if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the heart of the Motor Valley.
Yeah, so we are based in Modena. CRP Technology is based in Modena, but we have also now, since many years, another company that is located in Mooresville in North Carolina.
Okay.
That is famous and well-known as the NASCAR land.
Of course.
So we placed the company there because at the beginning the idea was to develop again a motorsport business there. But then we discovered that the United States were more attractive also for aerospace and aeronautic education. And 3 years ago, we also founded a company in Dubai. The name is CRP Gulf, with the aim of develop the Emirates and the Middle East market.
I see, of course. And I remember when I first began covering the industry, I mean, there were really not that many, maybe none, third-party material manufacturers. Certainly nobody that had, you know, the kind of high performance materials that you were offering. So, you know, and that was probably like 10 years ago when I started, and a lot has happened since. What would you say are the most typical applications that your materials are used for today?
Well, as I told you, we are a service, so mainly we work with following the project that are designed and engineered by our clients. But for sure, I can tell you that, well, while motorsport application, Formula One application are still a very high level and very high demanding markets, recently we are having a big success in aerospace application. We got certification, so the approval for the use of our materials in the space from NASA, ESA, and also other famous company. Famous regulations. And yeah, you know, in the space, the environment is completely different. And the required quality requirements also are very, very demanding. And so we are very proud that our material can be used in this kind of application. We especially use this material for creating a small sat or a CubeSat, nano satellites, deployers. And this is something that I can tell you, it is not so common, because we have talked about the performance and the mechanical performance of the material. So how it is important to have a material that can stand harsh environments or a critical application. But it is also important to have a material that you can work with a good confidence with your equipment and your machine. There are some materials available on the market that from a theoretical point of view, they are very good. But when you load a machine with this material, it is almost impossible to create complex shape to get close to the limit of the technology.
Of course.
And so it is, every time that we advertise our material, we want also to underline that with our material, you can really create parts and so production parts and not only prototypes for visual inspection or any other situation.
Absolutely. I understand that, you know, there is a big difference between making, you know, one part or making, you know, serial parts or, you know, batches of parts, and they all have to be the same.
3D printers also are very complex structures. Let's say, also I think that it is probably not correct to define this kind of machine 3D printers, because the idea is that you just push a button and then you get the part.
Right.
This is wonderful. True. We're talking about very complex machines where you have to keep under control a lot of parameters, especially with the SLS technology, because you have to keep a constant thermal temperature inside the chamber. You keep under control the laser power and a lot of parameters. So it is not so easy to get a nice part with a reliable quality.
Absolutely. And one thing you mentioned to me is that, you know, with automotive, you're seeing growth driven by you know, the transition that the segment is experiencing in terms of, you know, green, you know, more sustainable, you know, automotive vehicles. And so how do you think, you know, your materials can help to drive the transition?
Yeah, I think that this is a very good question. We have seen a lot of requests in the last years related to the electrification, let's say, of the cars, but not only. You know that our company founded also Energica, a motor company that is coming that is producing electric motorbikes. And so we touched with our end the requirements. And I can tell you that they are very demanding because you have high voltage, you have some critical situation that weren't so common in the past. So I've seen that many, many famous car constructors are using massively this additive manufacturing technology because in this way they can handle something that is completely new. So they have new designer, new engineers that they are working on new project, and they can immediately see, realize what they are working, what they are thinking. And so, again, this is something that is very important for them. They have they have to reduce the lead time and the time to market. And with this technology, they can do that.
Absolutely, yes. We spoke with some large automotive companies that said exactly that you know they need to, you know, prototype so quickly now to really redo the entire
prototype, because what we have seen also in Energic is that we do prototypes, we do the pre-series, we do also some series production. Obviously, when the numbers are growing a lot, then you have to switch on a traditional technology such as injection molding, if we refer to something related to the polymers. And again, in this, we have a news to share with you. We have also in this field, so in the injection molding technology, we released a material. We call it WinForm XT 2.0. IMG, so injection molding grade, that is a material that comes from recycled powders of WinForm XT 2.0. So this is a 100% recycled material. So no at all virgin material added to the original formula. And with this material, a client can keep the same material, because we had in the past some clients that were complaining, telling us, okay, I can do good prototypes with you, I can do also a nice pre-series, but when I go to the mass production, I'm forced to change the material. Yes. And so I have to select the material that is close to your original material, and I would like to avoid this. So now we have found the solution, offering a 100% green material, because it is 100% recycled, and so they can keep the same material for the whole life of their product.
And I'd seen that news that you just released, and that really struck me, because it's like, you know, it's the opposite, right? Now injection molding is using materials that comes from additive, which makes me think, you know, there is quite a lot of additive material being used. So if you can actually use the spent powder to, you know, produce material for injection molding, I think that's great news. That's really...
Yeah, absolutely, because you have to take into account that with especially the selective laser sintering technology, you have what we call the unsintered powder. That is a lot, because sure, all the powder that go inside the volume, the build volume, just a few portion of this part is sintered, and with this powder you create the final pieces that you have and to deliver to your client. So you have a lot of powder that there are many, many competitors that are trying to reuse that kind of powder, mixing with fresh powder inside the same SLS process. But we know that in this way you have a drop in mechanical performance, you have a drop in surface quality, and also in the part accuracy at the end. So our policy, it is to regenerate this powder, create pellets from the injection molding, and then to use that kind of material for the production using the injection molding technology.
Absolutely.
So we can keep the high quality, because we sinter our parts always with the fresh powder, and then we reuse the sintered powder to create pellets for the injection molding technology.
And that's very interesting. And this is... you know, we talked about the automotive, but we talked about this growth in demand. What exactly, can you give us an idea of how much your company is growing, and what is driving, what are the main segments driving growth?
Well, we are growing a lot, especially in the last few years, despite COVID issues. Last year we scored our record, and we We are very proud about that. And the, probably the market that is driving this growth is the aerospace market. Especially in the United States, we have seen a lot of requests coming from this sector. And this is the reason why the latest release of our materials, new materials, are all created trying to satisfy the requests that are coming from the aerospace market. We see also a positive start this year. I hope to keep the pace that we have seen last year, even if it is not so easy, because as I told you, we've scored the record. But again, there is a lot of expectation related to the additive manufacturing market.
Of course. So to summarize, what would you say are the reasons why, you know, aerospace companies and your clients in general to use your materials? What are the main elements that make them stand out to other materials on the market today?
Well, there are different things that we have to consider. The first one is that the density, so the weight at the end of the parts produced with wind farm material, is very low. And so for an object that has to be deployed in the space, this is very important. Also the mechanical properties, the thermal resistance, and all the certification that we got are satisfied. And so this is again another aspect. And also the possibility of using I can explain, if we just consider a small sat or a cube sat, you have to place many things inside this volume, allowing them to be placed without any interference. And so the engineers that are using additive manufacturing, they are free to design the cube sat as they prefer, and just reducing a lot of the components that are created the assembly. So sure. In the past, these small SAT were made using CNC machined plates and then bolted together. Now you have mainly a single piece, and inside of which you can place all the electronic devices, the battery, and what you need to have the satellite working properly. So I think that it is a combination of all these aspects.
And you mentioned the CubeSat, so let's get a little bit more specific about, you know, the real applications that you see companies and that you yourself are making via your services. I'm going to ask you segment by segment. What are the parts that are usually made for the automotive segment, for example?
Well, many parts. Traditional parts are just the underhood parts, let's say intake manifolds or ducts, cooling ducts, and so on. But recently, and so we come back to the previous question related to the electrification of the cars, recently we have seen a lot of application for the smart wire assy, and also for keeping in the right place all the devices that are typically related to the electric mobility. Also, we have done some plug for the connectors for the recharging system, and also some parts for the cooling system, because a key point in the electric vehicles is to keep under control the temperature of the battery that must be inside a specific range. And so you have to cool down the battery when the temperature goes up, and you have on the opposite to heat the battery if the temperature is too low. So these are all stuff and parts that could be easily produced with additive manufacturing and our materials at the wind farm.
Fantastic. And so let's get back to space and avionics. Like besides, you know, the CubeSat structures, what have you seen as typical applications in these segments?
Well, honestly, we don't know too much about the final application, because we just created the envelope and other parts that are necessary for the life of the CubeSat.
Sure.
What I can tell you that I've seen, for example, deployers. Deployers are specific equipment where inside of which they are placed the CubeSat, and then they deploy this CubeSat in the space. And again, what we have seen with our client is that he was able to reduce dramatically the number of components, so he saved a lot of weight and space that was left available for the inside. And so he was able to sell more space for their client.
Of course, that makes sense. What about avionics, if you want to mention something about that particular segment?
Yeah. Again, this is another very interesting segment. Also, they are in avionics. They are looking to reduce the consumption, and so they are following also a green path. And what we have seen is a specific application taking the advantage coming from the additive manufacturing and our materials for reducing the noise and the friction. So at the end, to have a better...
Sure.
Better result from their engine. Again, I cannot share any detail because I signed tons of NDA.
Of course.
But again, this is something that very very interesting because they are so happy. They are saving a lot of fuel and also they are reducing the noise coming from their engines.
Fantastic. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about, since we can't say that much about what other companies are doing with your materials, let's talk about a little bit more about your own activity of manufacturing via your services, your AM services. I would love to talk a little bit about the Energica, which is like my dream motorcycle, but we don't have time for that today. But let's get to the services. And what is it that is unique about the services that you offer?
Well, normally we try to offer a complete service. Let's say we started from a consultancy that is done for free, where we start to talk with the client in order to advise him about some design changes, if possible, in order to optimize the building volume, in order to reduce the cost, and also to have a better result at the end. And also to take the advantage of the additive manufacturing. So maybe creating shapes or solution that you cannot do with the traditional technology. So we start with this. Then when we get the order, our aim is to have a perfect part at the end. If we say that, okay, we can do that, we must be sure that we are delivering exactly what the client is expecting. And to do that, it is not enough to create the part and maybe to have a polishing or any other post process, but you have also to have a quality inspection in order to validate what you are delivering. And this is something that we have done in the last years. Now we have a quality inspection room when, depending on the final application, we can go from 100% of the part inspected to just a small portion, depending on the agreement that we had with the client. And our production system is certified EN 9100, that is an aeronautic certification. In the past, we got also the ISO 9001. Yeah. So again, this is something that it is not so common. We are producing parts with the same philosophy that you can find in a traditional, let's say, tech company where they are doing the CNC machining, just to give you an example.
Sure.
So to be sure that what we deliver, it is exactly compliant with the client expectation.
Absolutely. And so you mentioned, or we learned about your Q-Tracker production workflow control system.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about how that works?
Yeah. You know, there are many software, many systems available on the market that are workflow program. And we also at the beginning analyzed some of them. But we have not found what was the right one for our activity. And so we decided to develop our own software. So this is a complete workflow solution where we started with the quotation, and then it ends with the delivery of the parts. Okay. So we are managing, it is a software, it is a system that is connected directly with the 3D printers. So we know exactly what is going on. We know exactly where the parts are and when they will be ready. And we also manage the quality inspection and also the shipment of this part with this software, creating the right quality documentation and so on. So we are very proud about this software. We are continuously developing this software in order to improve and to add features that will be useful for our activity.
And this plays into something that we mentioned before, you know, manufacturing efficiency equals, you know, more sustainable manufacturing, because the point after all is that, you know, if we can make things more efficiently, then we can continue to grow and to make things rather than just making a lot of things via very wasteful processes. So we need to leverage this, you know, this potential that additive manufacturing has. And so I wanted to ask you, how does that apply to your services? You know, we talked about how that applies to your materials with the IMG.
As we said before, we started with the material development in order to give a second life to our powders, and that is the reason why we created the IMG line. But this is also something that we applied to our production system. So just to give you an example, we have recently installed a photovoltaic system and the latest generation. And with this system, we are producing so far more than 70% of what we need to run our activity. We also decided to invest in a green fleet for our vans and cars. And so we are doing a small step in order to create, let's say, a circular economy, in order to reducing the waste and to save materials and energy that obviously always all of us need these kind of solutions.
Absolutely. And one last thing I wanted to touch upon is, you know, we talked to so many, and, you know, with the Paris Air Show coming up, we talked to so many aerospace companies that say, you know, they, you know, there's not going to be another way, you know, with new regulations, they have to implement more sustainable manufacturing practices to reduce the weight and to reduce emissions and fuel consumption. How does that apply to, you know, how does the WindForm material help to implement this?
Well, first of all, we have to say that with additive manufacturing, you are already using a technology that reduces the waste compared with traditional technology, because in few words, especially now that we are able to reuse the sintered material, we create a material, we use that material, aggregating it for creating parts, and the rest is regenerated, creating pellets that can be used also in other technology. And so with additive manufacturing, you are just creating what you need, and you can also create a special design with the aim of improving the final performance of the part. The example that we have done before related to the avionics, and so these components that reduce the noise, and so at the end the friction, and so at the end the consumptions of the fuel. So I think that we are on the right path, even if we have a lot to do.
Of course. So in light of that, and in light of your experience in this segment, you know, I was recently at AMAG, and I know, you know, many of the people that started the industry know you very well. And, you know, you're one of the persons that for sure started the industry in Italy, but also globally. In light of your experience, what is your overall outlook for additive manufacturing? Where do you think we will be in 5 years? Will this industry continue to grow? What are the limitations?
Well, I'm pretty sure that this industry will continue to grow, because we have seen this in the last year, and I think that there is, as I said, still a lot to do. And also we are seeing some new technologies that are coming, and so they must be investigated very carefully. It is complicated maybe to do a precise forecast for the next 5 years, because the recent past teaches us that it is almost impossible just to have a look at COVID and to the war in Ukraine and so on. So it is very complicated, but I remain very positive regarding additive manufacturing, because I think that it is probably the future will not be 100% based on additive manufacturing. So let's say traditional technology, mass production technology will be there anyway, but we can have for sure a better integration between, we can call it additive manufacturing and traditional technology.
Of course, and that makes total sense. Well, we are out of time. We actually went a little bit long, but thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Very proud to be part of this podcast.
Thank you again, and thanks everyone for listening. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.